this retreat has been very uncomfortable for me. If you can imagine standing in the shadow of these Dharma lions and Dharma rajas. I remember many a day being in retreat and struggling with my fellow practitioners' outward manifestations of the three poisons, and trying to find some solace. And so few books, so few writing on the Buddhist experience for African Americans. And it really is indeed a pleasure, a daunting pleasure, to be in the presence of those people who wrote those books. You know? To me, this retreat is the example of the Fort Knox of Buddha Dharma in the black community burst open. And I only have a few cents to throw into the pile. It's very important in my tradition, which is Nyingma, the tradition of Tibetan Buddhism, to venerate your teachers. We don't know how to do that. We really don't. You know, when the Dalai Lama speaks, the people who sweep the floor after everybody's gone, they take the dust and they put it in a little pile and they put it in a container and they take it home and they put it on their altar because he walked on it, the dirt. We instilled how to bow. So I held my interpretation of what a bow is for now, because I wanted to give you some context of my practice. In the Nyingma tradition, and Nyingma actually just means the ancient translation school. It's the oldest school of Tibetan Buddhism. And there was a time period where Buddhism was reigning throughout Asia, in Afghanistan and Pakistan and India and Burma, all over. And during that time, the Tibetans decided, the king, that he wanted to bring the Buddha Dharma to Tibet, which was at that time like the Wild West. They had bandits and robbers and feudal lords and small armies and packs and raids. And I mean, they were just animal sacrifices. They were, you know, completely out of control. So he sent emissaries out to all these places to learn at one point and bring back all the teachings, the tantras, from throughout the Buddhist world at its zenith. And they translated them into Tibetan. And at that time, Tibetans didn't have a written language. So they created a language and translated all the texts. So the Nyingma tradition is the ancient translation school, and it's a very important to understand as African Americans that the tantras were in the world before Buddha. And it is possible through the Nyingma tradition to actually read and speak to masters who have studied the tantras that were there before Buddha. And you have to understand that you have to know who was in India before Buddha. You see? Now, there's some disputation about this amongst the Tibetan schools. So some people, they, you know, go to India, they say, listen, we know you say these are tantras, but we cannot find them, so therefore you must have made them up. There's argument like that. But the Nyingma response is, well, we didn't just go to India, we went everywhere, including Dravida and Odian, which is on the Indus River, in what we now call Pakistan, and there is an ancient black civilization, Mohenjo-Daro, 6,000 BC, in small villages, 2,000 BC, into communities and cities, two-story homes, flushing toilets, irrigation, water. So, for me, and I didn't really learn this until after I was very involved in the practice, and I started to research, but the ancient translation school in Tibetan Buddhism, the Nyingma tradition, is what I've just said. It is not a tradition for the faint at heart, because It deals directly with the point. There is no other discussion than the point. I would like to give you my sitting instructions from my teacher. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm telling you verbatim what he told us. Sometimes Buddhist students should sit down and keep their mouth shut like their butt crack. Period. That was my sitting instruction. And he never said another word about it. When I first went in, started working at a retreat center, something like this, Tibetan though. The first name my teacher gave me was Dharma Slave. That was what he called me. I didn't have a name. I was Dharma Slave. And after about a year, I said, you got to knock that. When you get a name, see, they tell everybody calls you that name. And you serve him tea, you walk up, he's teaching like this, and he's calling you Dharma Slave in front of the whole group. I said, I felt like he didn't really kind of understand. He was from a foreign country, So he said, oh, I'm sorry. So he gave me another name. The second name was Sasquatch. Bigfoot. But you have to understand the Vajrayana tradition, you see. He's hitting my ego. He's knocking on the door of my pride, you see. He's not going to call you a name you can deal with. He's going to call you the name that you most don't want to hear and tell everybody. And retreat center, people are coming from all over the world. So all over the world, your name is this. I'll tell you the first story that he told me to introduce me to Vajrayana Buddhism. It was about a story about a lama who had risen to be an abbot of a monastery, 1,000 yogis. They had the monastery and the community around them were all lay yogis. So they were the workers and they supported the monastery. And after some years of being abbot, the people in the monastery were arguing, complaining, gossiping, jealous, who's going to be higher, who sits where, this, that, and the other. He said, you guys need to knock it off. I'm not teaching that here. The Buddha Dharma is only one thing, the liberation of negativity from your mind, period. I don't care how you bow. I don't care how well you do your mantras. I don't care how good you look in your robes. If you don't do that, you have done nothing. And if you don't stop, I'm going to leave. So the Sangha got into an argument about whose fault it was. And he left. So some time passes, months, maybe a year or so. And he drifts into a town in another region. And he's dirty, and his robes are, filthy, and he's looking meager and slight from not having eaten. And he goes to the local bar, and he begs for alms, and then he goes and buys some liquor. And he proceeds to get himself intoxicated until he's unconscious. And he's laying in the street with saliva falling out the side of his mouth, and Someone recognized him as the High Lama from the big monastery, and they went and they got the local prince. And the prince, what? So he goes to the prince goes to town and he stands by the Lama and he nudges him with his foot, wake up, what are you doing? You're disgracing the Dharma. These people know who you are. Come to my palace. live with me high, like a high lama should live. And the lama told him, no, I don't think so. I don't need it. So the prince thinks, well, he's lost his mind. Everybody's gossiping. Next thing you know, he is now sleeping with and then decides to marry the town whore. Off they run to the palace. The prince comes back. Are you out of your mind? Everyone in town has slept with this person. Do you not know you are disgracing the Dharma? He says, no, I don't think so. The prince says, well, look, just both of you come to the palace with me and live at least like a high lama. He said, no, thank you. I don't need it. So then word gets out, the wife is pregnant. She has a son. The prince cannot take it anymore. He takes his men down to the town and he's going to physically take the lama to the palace. The lama says, one moment. And he reached to the right and he touched his wife and she turned into a Vajra bell. And he reached to the left and he touched his son and he turned into a Dorje, a sacred. And he crossed his arms like this and his body levitated into the sky. And a rainbow broke out and there was a sweet smell of incense in the air. So, the Vajrayana tradition, Nyingma, does not matter what you do outside. The Buddha Dharma is inside. That is the secret tantra. If you do not know Buddhism in your heart, you do not know it yet. It does not matter what people say about you. You don't have to fit in. Indeed, they may even come to get you. But the true Dharma is inside. All Nyingma traditions have four teachings, an outer, an inner, a secret, and an innermost secret. Now I'll tell you, I cannot discuss some of the secrets publicly. They're secrets. I have people angry at me right now. White people, Sangha members, why are you going over there to talk to them about the secrets? My teacher tells me secrets. He says, and don't tell them. Why you go over there and you don't talk to us? I teach in Oakland. Why are you going to Oakland? I teach a class, Awakening the Black Mind. Do you know white people call? Do you know they demand to come? And that I teach Awakening the Black Mind in a room with white people. They want the Dharma. They know the teachings. I have them. So listen well to what I say. Because I'm telling you some secrets. What is the purpose of a secret? The purpose of a secret is to stabilize your practice in the face of objections from the world, to stabilize your practice in the face of objections from your own mind. The syllable tra of tantra, tra, you know what it means? Protection. Mantra, protection. Mantra is protection like your burglar alarm on your car to your mind. Okay? Tantra is like car insurance. You see, mantra you do while you're sitting still. Tantra, you're in action. And you need to have insurance and protection. There are enemies to the Buddha Dharma, inside and out. And they seek to destroy all of your work, even in your dreams. You can be a wonderful practitioner while you're awake and go to sleep and be a terror. You can destroy your practice at night and you don't even know it. The Buddhistic teachings, the quintessential teachings, are complete coalescence of the mind. There's no partial. What do I mean by that? You cannot be a wonderful practitioner while you're sitting and then stand up and be mad at somebody for what they said at the dining room. You can, but your Buddhism is partial. New students, no problem. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you the goal. Relax. But the completion of your practice is when you can sit and practice in the midst of a nightmare while you are dead asleep and you wake up in your dream and say, I don't want this. I will sit here. You understand? Now, raise your hand if you've ever had a dream. Okay? I just want everybody to admit it. Okay. Now, in these dreams, you may have seen somebody who's familiar to you, correct? Or you may have seen somebody who you didn't want to see, or a being that you didn't want to see, or maybe a lover. And they talk to you, correct? Uh-huh. It's the secret. Where does the light come from in your dream? Your eyes are shut. The lights are off. And yet you experience, yes you do, and your feet are running when you're chasing and your feet are in your bed, and you wake up as though it's real. Who's doing the talking? There's nobody there. The light of your dream is the light of your Buddha nature. It is the light of enlightenment. It is already there. Every time you hear a teacher say, oh, you're already enlightened, you're already enlightened, this is indisputable. You know it. But you don't believe it. And that's the problem. That's why you have to practice. But the truth is, the light is already there. You must get to know it. And you know what? When you open your eyes, it's the same light. You think it's the sun. Haven't you looked at people from afar and known kind of what they were thinking? How you do that? That's not the sun. It's the light. Buddhism, quintessentially, is inside, permanently, indestructible. You must believe it. Gyarab Dorje, three words that strike the heart, very serious teaching. How do you believe it? How do you overcome your disbelief? One, you must make an assessment, first of all, of your life. Do you want to continue to have suffering in your life? Yes or no? This is the Nyingma way. Period. If yes, no problem. If no, then you must begin to go to the next step. You must decide that you are going to use your practice to understand your inner radiance. Third step. Once you have decided, you must have confidence in your practice. Period. Because it is that confidence that gives the Vajra yogi the ability to fly through the air, through space and time. What does that mean? The conceptualizations of the world have pockets, they have structures, they have rules and regulations. The Vajra yogi is moving in a different plane, like the Lama who went to the town. He was in a different place. You must use your practice, not just, I mean, you can keep it for yourself if you'd like, excuse me. You can keep it for yourself if you'd like, but really the true value of it, the richness of it, is when you give it away. I promise you. But these three things you have to remember. You must assess, you must decide, and you must have confidence. Now, if the confidence starts waning, you have to go back. Maybe you didn't make the right decision. If the decision is not working, maybe you need to go back and do an assessment. But so it's not this way or that way, it's this way and that way, until you come to a conclusive belief in your mind that Buddha nature is not a goal, it is self-existent. Until you liberate your mind from negativity, and you see, when you realize Buddha nature, it's only positive. It only is the outdwelling light of positive. And you're liberated, not because you think so, but because you don't remember what negativity is. You know, Sister Hilda, I don't know who I am. If you don't know who you are, what are you doing practicing? Who is practicing? Know the light. Be the light. In the physical body manifestation. Thus do you become indestructible. Thus do you cease being the slave of negativity that runs your life. Who here wakes up in the morning and says, I would like to have a bad day today? And yet, you do. Something happens. It's not what you want. Negativity is like that. It's like a jealous, inefficient employee. Your mind. It doesn't want to get fired. It can't get the job done, but it don't want to get fired either. You have to clean your mind like you clean your green. You have to clean your mind like you clean your greens. You must pursue, you know, you can chase after fixing racism. But if your mind is negative, you see, how can a negative doctor prescribe negative medication administered by a negative pharmacist and think that something positive is going to happen? This is the Nyingma teaching style. I'm just giving you a taste. It's to the point. No room. Either you are or you aren't. You do or you don't. That's it. It is refreshing in a way. Some sit, yes. Some do Mahayana practice, serving others. Vajrayana practice is understanding that the body follows the mind. Before you came here, you had to think, oh, that would be nice to do. Before you got up in the morning, you had to wake up. The body follows the mind. Not always. There are some things, you know, like if you touch something hot, your body can actually move faster than your mind figures out what happened. But that's rare. For most of us, the majority of time, our body is following our mind. Therefore, again, to the point. Cleanse the mind and the body will follow. So, for us, the sitting is a point of stabilization. The Mahayana practice of serving others is the way that we exchange our energies with other human beings. The Vajrayana practice is the practice of cleansing the mind. And it's like having a three-speed car. When you go up the hill, you put it in this gear. When you go down the hill, you put it in that gear. There's no one thing sitting Mahayana, nothing better. You must know where you are and then apply your practice. But that's the Vajrayana, Nyingma tradition. All human beings are equal. Back to Neanderthal Heidelbergensis and Cro-Magnon man. All human beings have the same ancestors. No difference. Smile at everybody, especially your enemies. Until you can love your enemies, you do not know what love really is. Your love is partial. It may feel good. I know mantra, lots. I know practices, lots. I tell you, the supreme mantras of it all, translated into any language, break down walls and obstacles between human interaction. The cacophony of minds. I tell it to you. I'm sorry. Most powerful mantra in humanity. Second one. It was my fault. Third one, please forgive me. Fourth one, what can I do to make it better? Most powerful mantras in the history of humanity, in any language, especially when it wasn't your fault. Somebody should be apologizing to you, and you shouldn't be doing nothing for them. That's when it has the power. So, what I'm saying about Nyingma tradition, you understand, we are reversing the field. We're not moving towards the ordinary. We are moving upstream. You know a Vajra yogi when you see somebody out there who is a Buddhist who is doing things that you don't figure how they did that. It's so out of sync. And yet it's so right. You have nothing to say. You sit in awe. Don't, how's the disclaimer go? Don't try this at home without proper instruction. I'm telling you how it is so you'll know that there is a brother who is holding this tradition. Now, the same Lama who called me Dharma slave the first year I met him, Sasquatch the second year. Then I told him, you know, I want to really start working with my community. And from then on, he called me Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson, Jesse Jackson, Jesse Jackson. So finally, this was recently, maybe about 2 months ago, he was hosting a gathering at his home here in Marin with the abbots of monasteries in Sikkim and Bhutan. And I'm serving tea. And he said, you sit down. I was like, oh, I don't feel comfortable sitting in here. It's too much Dharma energy. He said, sit down. And then they're chatting in Tibetan, which I don't speak fluently, and I don't know what they're saying. And then he looks at me and he says, oh, by the way, that man is a Lama. You see, Lama, teacher. Lama, La. Do you know what La means? Light. Do you know what Ma means? Yes, you do. The feminine. Holder of the feminine light is the ultimate wisdom. That is it. As a student, I cannot say that he said that to him. Because if he wants to call me Dharma slave tomorrow, he will. But at that moment, he said that. And then I knew what the name calling was all about. So I don't know how much time I have. I have some things here for you to look at that you can look at on your break. I want you to understand this statue of this brother meditating is from China. That statue there, and you can come up and look later, is Green Tara, you know, when I practice in my deepest meditation, I am green Tara. I am not only feminine, I'm green. You understand? Reversing the field.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.